last couple of weeks about a group of people that I like to call the nobodies of the New Testament. And they're the nobodies of the New Testament, as you will recall, because they get like a one-time mention, and nobody talks about them. Their names are rarely remembered. And we've looked at a few of them. There's actually quite a number of them in the New Testament. And we have seen various ways in which these people who have maybe a one-time mention and a half a sentence or something speak directly to our situation and our discipleship and the manner in which we follow Jesus. And today I want to share with you about one of the nobodies of the New Testament called Tychicus. You haven't thought about Tychicus this week, have you? No. So this is your chance right here this morning. And as I was thinking about him and looking at the scriptures and looking him up and all that, it just reminded me of the band that I was in Phoenix. We had a small rock band called Fossil Fuel. Sometimes we were introduced as the Fossils. We played anyway. It was all right. Because, We had practiced for a while, and we were all very excited and all this. We weren't very good yet or anything like that, but I don't know. Be careful back there. So it was our first gig. It was coming up. And this gig was a fundraiser, and it was an early morning 3K run to raise funds for the West Side Art Museum. The Phoenix Art Museum was going to have a small museum on the west side of town, in the town we lived in, which, by the way, as some of you remember, was Surprise, Arizona, was where we lived. And so we were to play at 8:30 in the morning. And we got all set up. And it's 8:30 in the morning, and there must have been, I don't know, eight runners or something. So set up at the museum. And as we're pulling up to get our equipment out of the car and set up, we heard some other music, which is really wonderful music. And we thought, oh, they're playing some recorded music to get things started. And apparently at 7:30, another performer had started, Walter, who was absolutely superb. He was excellent. He could play at anything at all by himself. He's playing his guitar and singing. And we really did think it was recorded music driving up. So we go up and we're getting our stuff out. And I say, hey, Walter, how are you? We're the next band. And my bandmates were thinking, we're sunk now. This is terrible. We'll never play again anywhere. But I, however, took a slightly different tack on the whole thing, and I said, Walter, would you like to play along with us in our set? And he did. He plugged right in, came over with us, didn't need a second of rehearsal. We just started playing songs, and he's right in there. And we're going along. I said, Walter, take the solo. He's all over the place. And he was so encouraging to us and so generous. We were really encouraged by all that when we could have been completely intimidated and just forgotten about the whole thing. And one of the things it made us want to do, in addition to practice, we found rehearsal really helped, was to be better. His generosity and his encouragement. He didn't say anything about any of the mistakes that we knew we made. Nothing. It's just this great encouragement made us wanted to be better. And in fact, we began from that moment meeting other people as we played the small coffee house circuit on the west side of Phoenix. We would find other performers who had the same generous spirit with them. And that's who we engage with. Sometimes we play on the same place at the same time. and encourage one another that way. Now, there were other bands, of course, who were not so generous or encouraging, and they were difficult to have relationships with. But we found a number of them who were just that way, open and encouraging. And we felt like we were of a group that built each other up, that helped each other along in some way, even if it was, we didn't, it came to where we didn't see each other all that often, but it was still encouraging whenever we did. And that's what Tychicus is like, as we see him in the New Testament. He is someone who reminds us of the of dimension of the Christian faith. And we've talked about the up, in, and out. You know, we're up as part of your Christian discipleship. You reach up to God in worship, into the fellowship to encourage one another, and then out to the world, reaching out with the gospel, and you know, however God directs you. Those three, there's a fourth that comes in, and that is up. Up, in, out is your personal kind of way of doing things, you know, watching yourself, making sure you have counterbalances to everything. You're not all up or all in or all out, but you've got it. You've got a good, solid Christian life going. But then there's the of, which just like our band in Phoenix was unable to really see the encouraging ones, except every so often, the of dimension is something that goes on in your Christian life that you plug into every so often, but it's always there encouraging you and lifting you up. In other words, you and I this morning are of the entire Christian faith worldwide and throughout history this morning. And knowledge of that, understanding that, connecting with that, even though it may not be very often at all, has a tremendous boost to our encouragement. And it makes us desire to be more and more like Jesus all the time. And that's what Tychicus did for the church, the first century church there, all around Asia Minor and all Laodicea and all those places that are hard to pronounce. He did all that. Now, just to give you a little bit more perspectives of what, how this works, the entire world population at this moment is approximately 7.2 billion. The largest religious group in the world is the Christian Church at 2.9 billion. There are 2.9 billion Christians in the world today. And right now, at this moment, at some point in this morning, around the world, the great vast majority of that 2.9 billion people will be coming to a table like this one, singing as we've been singing, praying as we've been praying, and receiving the body and blood of Jesus and the bread and wine as Jesus commanded us to do throughout the world. Who knows, maybe it's 2 billion people will be doing that with us today. Just the thought of that makes me want to be more like Jesus. Just knowing that there are people all over the entire world who have said yes to Jesus the way you and I have, and who this morning have brought their experiences, much like the ones that we have, and some of them even experiences we only read about, but still somehow connect with, and then bringing that to the table and offering their lives to the table the same way that we are. That lifts me up. Now, Paul relied on Tychicus to carry that very thing to the rest of the church. Of course, he couldn't get around as well as we could today, but that's what he did. He counted on Tychicus to do that. And that is what he said. Let me just read to you the verse that describes that. Tychicus, as he's writing to the church of the Colossians, will tell you all about my activities. He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, to tell you everything that has taken place here. See, this church in the city of Colossae needed this encouragement, just as we would need the same encouragement. So Paul has his right-hand man at the time ready to go and go to the Colossians and say, this is what's happening. Now, the reason Paul couldn't go by himself is because he was in prison. He was in jail for being a Christian. The shorthand thing. I mean, there was Jewish laws and all kinds of things and charges and all this. But still, it was for his faith as an apostle. He had gotten into some trouble and now he was in prison and he wasn't going anywhere. But it was like a house arrest. It wasn't behind bars, but it was a house arrest. And so people like Tychicus could come and serve him and help him and bring him books or whatever. And then go and bring messages to other churches around the area, which is what he did. And Tychicus here is described as a dear brother, a minister, and a beloved servant. A beloved brother, fellow minister, and a fellow servant. Those are the three capacities, you might say, which carry the whole entire church to everyone else. So, here he's the beloved brother. In other words, when you come in contact with another Christian, even if you haven't met them, there is something about what has gone on in their heart that connects with you. Even if you don't know the story, you don't know how it happened, you know that there's something. Paul talks about it in another way by saying deep calls to deep. There's something about forgiveness. There's something that about grace. There's something about someone who has come to the admission in their own life, I cannot do this by myself anymore. And I need the grace of God to come. And they stand in that place and they take it. You begin to recognize that and you begin to have a relationship with them around that. Just that openness and that grace. You know, it's no more, you got to meet the standard, you can't mess this up, you can't sin like that. Well, you've probably discovered, yes, you can. No problem. You can do that right away. You can do that every day. But that grace is there. And that connects. That was Tychicus. When he went with Paul's message to the church of the Colossians, that was there. He was also a faithful minister. And as a faithful minister, it didn't mean that he went to seminary and was ordained and all that and got into the pension plan and signed a letter of agreement. And it didn't mean any of that. They didn't have that in those days. What it meant was he knew what it was to minister to Jesus. See, there's all kinds of people who help each other and minister to each other. That's just human decency. And there's a lot of people who do that, which I am very thankful. and I like to do that also. And you probably know all kinds of people who would never think that the Christian church was of any value at all, who are generous and help other people and just have a wonderful kind of aura about them. Tychicus knew what it was to minister to the Lord. That's what sets Christians apart from others who do good things. It doesn't mean that the good things that others do are not good things. They're very good things. It just means a Christian has something going on in their life where they are ministering to Jesus, waiting on Jesus, stopping to listen to Jesus. After they've done their duty, then they wait on Jesus some more. There's something about Jesus that they want to be close to him and they want to know him, just like you and me. And Tychicus brought that. He brought that deeply as a faithful minister. He would hear what Jesus said and then do that. That dynamic in his life flowed from his heart out into that church as he brought the news that Paul wanted to have. And then it says he was a faithful servant. And that kind of bleeds into from being a faithful minister to a faithful servant. And what that means is this. Once you have done what Jesus asked you to do, and you've done it all, and he asks you to do one more thing, you do it. Because you're his servant. Do you remember that story in the Bible of everybody been working all day? The master comes home. He's hungry. You and I, being regular people, would have said to the other workers around, well, okay, let's all sit down and have something here. We'll get it together. In this story, the master sits down at the table and says to the servants who have been working all day, get me something to eat. And after I'm done, then you can eat. That's a faithful servant. And Jesus will ask that of us from time to time. Sometimes we can get that confused with Jesus wants us to defend him. Wants to make sure we get other people on the straight and narrow and corrected and straightened up and ready to go. And thinking properly and all that. And Jesus really doesn't need us to defend him. You know, he's pretty good at defending himself. Conquered death and all that. He doesn't get any better than that. As his faithful servant, we're serving him in what he asked us to do. Okay, everybody okay? All right, good. Good, because I want to tie this together. See, Tychicus brought all these things, and the church in Colossae and any other church he went to received it. The dynamic was there. It kind of deepened things as they went along, and people felt connected to the whole church worldwide, and that began to encourage them, lift them up, give them some motivation to do more, to go further. By the way, a definition of the word Catholic. It's not Roman Catholic. You know, I mean, sure, there's Roman Catholic and there's the Pope and all that. Is the Pope Catholic? Yes, he is. All of that is what goes on. But the wider definition of Catholic is more like universal. That which is true for all people in all places at all times. And the only answer to that, the only thing that describes is faith in Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is true for all people, in all places, at all times. Now, many of us here have experienced that and know that, and we've come from other churches, some of us from Baptist churches, some from Methodist churches, some from who knows where, and here you are, but that's good. And I think that's absolutely wonderful, and I wouldn't want it to be any other way. And any person from any background of any kind is certainly welcome here, as they are in many, many Christian churches. And welcome here to just hang out and be around for as long as you want, for years. Years and years, if you want. But I want to, this morning, ask you to consider something of how you can connect with the of dimension, the universal dimension of the church, and receive everything God has for you when you do that. You know, the person today who symbolizes connecting with the whole church worldwide and throughout history is usually the bishop. And our bishop is going to come here in October. And what the canons of the church require me to do whenever we prepare for a visit from the bishop is to ask people who've been around for a little while, would you like to be confirmed or received into the Episcopal Church? And that gets a little tricky because people are thinking, well, okay, you know, I like it here, but I don't know if I want to make that step. And I was confirmed somewhere else in another denomination, and that counts. And to which I say, absolutely, that counts. Always, always has, always will. And we go along a little further, and people were thinking, well, what if something changes? Do I want to make that step right now? What if something changes? What if something about the church changes? What if John, who's doing an amazing job, leaves? Or things like that. What if something happens and it's not the way that it was? Well, here's a promise that I can give you. The only thing that will be absolutely unchanging from here until Jesus returns is that things will change. The only absolute is that things change. This church will change. You and I will change. All kinds of things will change. And what I'm asking you to consider is this. How does Jesus want you to connect to the whole church worldwide throughout history so that you are receiving everything he has for you? Whatever that is, I support you in that. Whatever your answer to that question is, I want to do everything I can to make sure you can do that. The challenge is this. You know, a marriage works best when the two people in the marriage have strong sense of who they are individually. The more each one knows who they are individually, the stronger the marriage will be. You notice I didn't say easier. But the stronger it'll be. The more you know who you are in this season of your life in Christ, the stronger the fellowship you are connecting with will be. And the more deeply you will receive the grace of God from the entire experience of the whole church today. That's how that works. When you see Christians in other parts of the world today persecuted or martyred, what do you connect with the deepest? The outrage? Or the forgiveness the rest of their church offers to their killers? If you're connecting with the forgiveness more, I don't mean exclusively, but more, you're connecting to the grace of God that is now flowing through the entire church worldwide. What I'm inviting most of us to consider, because some of us aren't ready to do it today or this fall, and some of us have already done it and have been that way for years, but I'm asking you to consider is this, to take both feet, step them into the middle of this fellowship, and when the bishop comes, receive the prayer for empowerment to follow Jesus every day of your life from the center of this fellowship. Not so that we can add another number onto our register, but so that you can be everything you have been created and called to be from this moment on in this season of your life. And if that season changes, and you find yourself in some other church or some other region of the country or the world or some other place for some other reason, What I don't want you to miss, if Jesus is asking you to do it, is everything that you could have received today in this season, the gift he has for you right now, right here, today, that you put yourself in the position to receive by putting both feet in. See, not just one and one out in case things change. But both of them, knowing things will change. But you are standing solid on the center of the place that Jesus has prepared for you in this season. With that, would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've called us. I ask that you would speak to us about what's on your mind, those that you're calling to be confirmed into the Episcopal Church at this point. I ask that that would be very clear. Those who are calling from another Episcopal Church into this one and make a formal step, that that would be clear. That those who are called to be friends and here and a part of this fellowship without that formal step, that that would be clear. But that in each and every case, you would guide us, prompt us, and lead us to put both feet onto the very place you have marked out for us this day, for the glory of your name. Amen.